everyone, Snow Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Palillo and Sports Talk 790's Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Palillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. On today's episode, Houston gets some Brown news on Hunter. We'll dig into the implication of Houston's ace going on the shelf. Not great timing, as it was a wild series in Sacramento with a rubber game that may have put some fans in a padded room. And we'll get you set up for the next leg of the roadie in Colorado. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. It was a frustrating series in Sacramento, but obviously the big news coming down Sunday was Hunter Brown being placed on the 15-day IL with shoulder inflammation. Charlie, as we saw in the A series, the pitching has been dicey at times. So put this news into perspective for us.
Ugh. Talk about a giant turd in the Easter bonnet. Past performance, the Astros medical staff, is no assurance of future results. But cross the fingers hard. Shoulder strain. So, hey, we at least know Tommy John surgery isn't a phrase that we should be using. Worst case scenario, you hear shoulder strain, you hear labrum or rotator cuff following that. Hopefully, it's just an abundance of caution. Hunter Brown has been durable, never before to the injured list. Now, some of these pitchers' arms are ticking time bombs, so many of them in this era for reasons that we and others have talked about over and over. For the Astros rotation, the word devastating comes to mind if this was to be a longer-term injury. Hunter Brown's not as good as Tarek Skubal, but take Tarek Skubal out of the Tigers rotation or Garrett Crochet out of the Red Sox rotation. Zach Wheeler, well, he is out of the Phillies rotation. I mean, you can't just lose the unquestioned overwhelming ace and it not have a harmful impact on the ball club. You can suck it up in the short term, but I mean, Hunter Brown over 30 starts was quality in about 25 of them last season. You're not going to replicate that no matter who or what combination of pitchers are in that role. So rabbit feet, four-leaf clovers, any other talisman you might be into, or just hope real hard that Hunter Brown this early in the season just needs a little two-week respite or three-week respite. I mean, what's the at the outside? If he's back May 15th, would you say, okay, as long as he'll be good to go beyond that point?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal. This is the fourth worst ERA for a pitching staff in baseball, and you lose your best pitcher, at least for the time being. Not good. You still don't have Hader back. Abreu does not look very good. So the pitching's a concern, but if we look at maybe silver lining, Spencer Arrighetti's only given up one hit in his two starts in the minors, no runs. So you might have to get him up here pretty quick to fill in. But yeah, I mean, the offense has been awesome. It's the pitching that's been real hit or miss. It was nice to see Emi do well, but overall, there's a lot of concerns with the pitching. And we know Hunter Brown, he's critical to the success of this team this season.
Hopefully, this is just a pause button for whatever period of duration and not a hard stop. But this is a warning flare or a reminder of those in a rush. Give Hunter Brown 7 years, $200 million. Lock him up. The long-term hit rate on pitchers' contracts, rather dubious.
No doubt about it. And look, we acknowledged in the preview how the A's and specifically Nick Kurtz played Houston tough. That trend continued as the two teams played three games of first to 11 wins. Outside of Saturday's blowout, the series was filled with pitching and defensive performances that I think we'd all like to forget. Friday was a meltdown by Javier and Munoz that sandwiched a defensive miscue by Yiner on an infield pop-up. The rubber game was just two teams that refused to win, ultimately decided by that three-run walk-off homer that balloons Brian Abreu's ERA to 2.3. Oof. Charlie, how do you juxtapose the pitching failures of this series with the very encouraging offensive output?
Great hitters ballpark, the AAA facility, which looks real nice for a AAA ballpark in West Sacramento. But the ball flies there. It's not Colorado, but maybe with Arizona, another park or two, a hitter's haven. And it worked that way for both sides, certainly, over the bulk of the series. Hey, 6-4, 600 baseball, you're winning 96, 97 games. Of course, you lose your next game, you drop that pace by five in a hurry because we're still so small in the sample size. But it feels like 6-4 isn't good enough when Altuve heads to Colorado hitting 344 with an OPS over 1,100. Yordan Ted Williams's head isn't spinning in that jar just yet, but Yordan at 400, OPS over 1,400. And Christian Walker keeps bashing away. You're not going to keep hitting 324 with an OPS over 1,000. But the top end of the order, collectively, largely, absolutely going off to this point. And then there's the pitching, as Josh noted, bottom tier. Brandon, you amplified, especially losing Hunter Brown. You're not going to hit the eject button on guys from the rotation after a couple of starts. But Christian Javier, when conditions are right, how long will his leash be? Reminder, Christian Javier has not been a good major league pitcher since 2022 between performance and injury, and he's just shown very little. The quality of his stuff at fastballs, much too visible at this point. You know, Ryan Weiss was signed to be a starter. Who knows when we'll see Nate Pearson healthy enough to get in games. You mentioned Arrighetti, but Javier, very troubling. Just two starts, but Javier not being very good goes back way longer than two starts. McCullers wasn't going to be the guy he was his first start in all of his starts. So let's not pass negative judgment any more harshly than there was celebration over the first outing. Where in the middle is he going to fall over a stretch of starts? And in the middle, the silver lining, Imai was fantastic, as in command as he was all over the place the first time out. Baseball's the long game.
It is, but Javier has got me concerned, guys. He's a one-trick pony, and that trick's really not working anymore. I don't know how much you can just keep throwing 93-mile-an-hour fastballs right down the middle, and especially now with the ABS, guys can be a little more picky and don't have to chase the high stuff out of the zone as much anymore. I'm really concerned with him. The secondary stuff, the sweepers, the changeups, it's not that great. He's kind of lived off that invisible, and it's just not working anymore. The velo's not the same. It's like Charlie mentioned, it's easier to get to now. And guys know what to look for with him. So I think they're in big trouble there with Javier. We'll see. And then the bullpen kind of, you know, AJ Blueball had been so good. And then in the finale against the A's, he gets roughed up. Abreu continues to struggle. So yeah, with Hunter Brown, this is just really bad timing. And then, I mean, I don't know about you guys. It's not like he was terrible, but I'm tired of watching Nick Allen play so much. I'm really disappointed with Paredes, unfortunately, being on the bereavement list, so you didn't have him for the A series. I wasn't real excited about Nick Allen. Jake Myers dropping that fly ball in the outfield really killed them in the finale. And you mentioned Yiner earlier dropping one. A lot of the fundamentals, defense and pitching, that's what let them down in this series. But the bats have been awesome. They've topping on base percentage, best OPS. The offense has been really good, but the other areas you're seeing some cracks.
You would think Jeremy Pena is about ready to resume normal workload. In Sacramento, West Sacramento, he started Friday, he started Saturday, but they didn't want to go for three games in a row. And Sunday being a day game after a night game where you lose a few hours. Allen's, to his credit, slapped a few hits, but the track record is clear. He's not a competent major league offensive player. Pena playing half the games isn't going to cut it.
No, and we failed to mention no Isak Paredes as he's on bereavement leave for this series, which they weren't wanting for offense out of this series. It was the pitching that failed him. So unless they were going to have Isak come out there and try to throw across the plate, I don't think that he was going to be the difference. But my goodness, I think Carlos Correa still got bases loaded and stranding them now. Again, like, this was ultimately on the pitching. You score 10 runs in a game, you should win that game. The offense did everything they could to bring this game back. And obviously, I jest, but Correa drove in the go-ahead run. But them leaving the bases loaded, and that's that bugaboo going back to last season, leaving the bases loaded. And here it goes again. Even in the blowout on Saturday, it could have been an even bigger blowout, but they just kept leaving the bases loaded, which is forgivable in a game in which you're blowing the other team out. That's fine. But here again on Sunday, it's another instance of just so much left on the plate that could have been, again, not on the offense. They needed it, though. In the top of the 10th, you really felt like you needed more than one. Turned out, yes, you did. And Brian Abreu, I don't know what it is. Do you guys feel like once he's out of the ninth that maybe he settles back in? Or do you just feel like this is something going on with him in the strike zone that's just not working out right now?
His early audition ahead of free agency is not going very well. It's limited data. I don't think he's spooked by being in the ninth inning, or in Sunday's case, then pitching the 10th inning. Too often, he just doesn't know where he's throwing a damn ball. He's thrown 2 2/3 innings. He's given up 4 hits and walked 5. He has 6 strikeouts, so the raw stuff is still there. But without command, raw stuff over time is just not going to get the job done at the level of consistency you need when you're always in the game, or virtually always, in high leverage situations. And, Brian King did his job. Stephen Okert Sunday kind of did his job. It's shown the light on how fielding percentage can be a dubious way to evaluate defense. But until Lance McCullers threw an errant pickoff play at second, the Astros hadn't committed an error all season. Well, the Jake Meyers ball, hey, it happens. Tyler Soderstrom lost one earlier in the series for the A's in the high sky there. How about some sunglasses, though, Jake Meyers? I think both of you touched upon it. The Yiner Diaz play, this is the major leagues. That is an error, that he didn't touch it, but that he staggered around as if drunk under it. Although, frankly, that ball was enough in the field of play and high. Where's Christian Walker? Where's the first baseman coming up the line to take charge? It's an easier play for someone coming in on that ball than the catcher going out. But that was a botch job. That was an error. So McCullers and Okert both took earned run hits because Meyers lost that ball. And then Correa made an excellent play on the ball, but then trying to hurry a throw, you get an error because you give up an extra base on that. So errors charged and errors uncharged sometimes can be deceiving.
Indeed. Let's get everybody ready for the series against the Rockies. Before we do that, let's take a minute for Nat Latman at StoneColdCruise.com. Nat's service is 100% free. I just want to remind you of that. Like, he goes out there and finds the deals for you. He finds you the best deals. And the best part about his software is it keeps tracking those prices. So if you agree to a cruise and you find something with Nat that you like, you book it. And then the price goes down. As long as you haven't made that final payment on that trip, then your price is automatically going to adjust. He can give you more details about it, but he can hook you up with anything, whether it's Alaskan cruises, whether it is cruises out of Galveston, some Caribbean cruises. It's never been a better time to book than right now. If you go with Nat, he's going to save you hundreds of dollars versus booking this yourself, because he gets exclusive deals. He gets all the best perks and he knows what to look for you. All you got to do is just go to StoneColdCruise.com. That's going to take you to Nat's custom page for Stone Cold Cruise. You just fill out the form there, tell him what you're looking for, tell him what your budget is, and he's going to cater something that's just right for you. You can call him or Jenny also at 281-892-1150. Just make sure that you tell them that you heard about it on Stone Cold Stros. Okay, guys, Houston heads to Colorado to face the Rockies, who've dropped 2 of their first 3 series. It's a ballpark that we've talked about. A hot offense is going to love seeing it, but a struggling pitching staff will dread it. What will you be looking for in this series?
Boy, that embarrassment of riches of starting pitching depth evaporated in a hurry to where Cody Bolton gets the Monday start because Arrigetti had just pitched a couple days ago, so wasn't ready. Jason Alexander was an option, but that would have forced a roster move. So Bolton, who had that 3-inning save in the blowout win over the Red Sox, they'll probably hope for similar 2-3 innings in the thin air. Then you have Mike Burrows for his third start. It's been 1 bad, 1 good on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, you have a decision. You're bringing back Christian Javier on 4 days rest to throw a day game in Colorado, or maybe Ryan Weiss gets a first start there. Then after the Colorado series, off day Thursday, then 13 games, 13 consecutive days, coinciding with the week you lose Hunter Brown, coinciding with when you want to be going to the 6-man rotation. So Arrigetti certainly will be up to pitch and start, I believe, one of those games in Seattle, the wraparound series that gets here Friday through Monday.
Yeah, Weiss is the guy. I'll be excited to take a look at it. With Javier, I just don't know if they have any other options right now. And with how much money they committed to him, and then if you yank him this early, what does that do to him mentally? I may do something different than the Astros would, but I think they'll play it more conservative with him and just kind of hope he figures it out. But yeah, this it's tough. As Charlie mentioned, you got this stretch of all these games in a row. You lose Hunter Brown, Abreu. Do you guys feel good about him protecting a one run lead in the ninth inning right now? Heck no. So they got some real worries there. And it's funny, right? That's all we talked about before the season started, is how they're going to have to lean on the pitching. But it's the offense that's carrying this ball club right now.
Josh, I don't feel good about Brian Abreu holding down a 2-run lead at this point, given his proclivities to walk guys at this point. I think specifically out of the series, I'm going to be looking at Mike Burrows, because this team is desperately in need of solid pitching in the rotation right now. Burrows seemed to straighten it out after his first couple innings and his last start. So if he can right the ship from his standpoint, that gives you another solid bullet in the rotation that they can lean on. And then I really am excited too, Josh, about Weiss as well. He's looked pretty solid for them, eating some innings in this series. I'm also going to be looking at how long does Roderick Munoz stay in this roster, because he's really shown them nothing. It goes back to that thing of you can't read too much into spring performance. And I was really excited about him making the roster, and him and Roa both have just been super disappointing. Obviously Munoz much more so, but Roa has also been super rocky in his performances as well. Final thoughts before we're out the door.
6-4 to Colorado. That is first place. It was a sour taste, certainly, coming off the Athletics series, dropping 2 out of 3. Athletics beat the Astros pretty good last season, 8 out of 13, and they get an early leg up. But while the Astros obviously have early points of concern, there have been enough positive there that no one should be overly soaked in flop sweat. The second place Angels, first of the week, are 5-5. There's still no reason to take the Angels seriously. The Texas Rangers, so far, who we thought they were. They mustered all of 4 runs in 3 games over the weekend and dropping a series to the Reds. And the Mariners, 4-6. 3 of their, I guess, 4 big bats, if we were to include Randy Arozarena. But my God, Cal Raleigh, 132 batting average, 20 strikeouts, 38 at-bats. Julio Rodriguez, 154, an OPS of 404. Josh Naylor, a 125 batting average. That's up, by the way, from the before the series. OPS of 330. So, yeah, the Astros have their concerns, but there's plenty of room in that boat in the American League West.
Yep, I'll be curious to see if Altuve can keep doing his thing, taking those walks, getting big hits. Yordan still locked in, Christian Walker. I mean, the top of the lineup is fun and great to watch, and Altuve had a heck of a play on defense, a diving play, throwing to home to kind of save the, at least kind of save the game temporarily for the Astros. Yiner with a great scoop on that play. So seeing a lot of great things. It's just, it's early. You're not going to win all your games. And it's nice to see the offense breaking out for 10 runs almost every game. So you like all that. It's just, the pitching will come around. If there was a thing that you would target on the Astros where you'd feel good about them getting that corrected, it's with pitching. We know that they find a way to get things out of pitchers that other clubs can't. So if anybody can kind of get the pitching turned around, it's the Astros. But Hunter Brown's a big piece, and without him and Hader, it's going to be tough sledding for a while.
If you believe in the power of positive thinking, goodwill Hunter.
I know it's a small sample size, and I obviously understand that the vibes probably aren't great after giving up 23 runs to the A's over the weekend, but I'm happy to see Jose Altuve really take to heart being more patient at the plate. 12 walks so far on the season, and Jeremy Pena returning to full-time action should be a boon to this team. It makes me wonder how they are going to handle Isak Paredes once he returns from bereavement, because the infield surplus that we talked about all offseason really hasn't been a surplus up until this point. So this will be the first time in which we really will see how they maneuver this around. But I think the encouraging news out of that is that the offense has been good so far without having to need Paredes in there full time. So it's been good so far.
And you know, in Colorado, they don't want Yordan playing that gigantic left center field. So the DH at bats are all spoken for, presumably, in that series.
Indeed. We'll leave it there. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Reminder for Texans fans, be sure to subscribe to our other podcast, Texans on Tap. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.